Hey everyone, it's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. After talking with Darlene Martin on a previous episode, I was anxious to have the opportunity to visit with her daughter, Marcia Houston, and we finally made it happen. This is not just a mother and daughter working on quilts, but a partnership with each being able to use their strengths to make something beautiful. I also love how Marcia shares what a blessing it is to financially be able to quilt.
Marcia, thanks for being with me on A Quilter's Life today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for asking me to share some things with your audience.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Defiance, Ohio. I was the fourth of five kids, and we were moving a lot because Dad was working and going to college, and Mom was having kids, so we shifted around a good bit. So I was born in Defiance, Ohio, but by the time I was 2-3 years old, we were in Marietta. And so I grew up mostly in the Marietta, Ohio, Williamstown, West Virginia area.
Do you have a special memory of growing up?
I remember my maternal grandmother a lot because when I was four, Mom had my baby brother, and my grandmother did a lot of caretaking of me. I remember she and I would walk to church together, and she took me to my preschool doctor's appointments, and she took me to dentist appointments and stuff like that. She lived with us. Before I was six, she got sick with leukemia and passed away. And so she was kind of a childhood memory for me that is always quite vivid.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, she's what got me started quilting, so that's pertinent.
Where do you live now?
We're in the Watertown, Ohio area. We live in a log home out in the country. Have a bunch of dogs, and we do dog training classes and dog agility classes and do a lot of countryside stuff.
Fun. I actually looked up your website for your teacup dog agility, and
that's
really, really nice.
Oh, good.
Do you have some particular breed that you like better than others, or...
When I first started with dogs, I had mutts and mixes, and then I decided the first purebred type of dog that I ever had were golden retrievers, and I did rescue. I would find them in the bulletin board, which was, I guess, the internet of the day,
mm-hmm.
and people would be getting rid of dogs that were 7 or 8 months old because at that point they're kind of ornery and rambunctious and destructive. And so they would be getting rid of them, and I would adopt them, train them for a couple of months, get them through that phase, and find homes for them. So at one point I had 5 or 6 Goldens in my house and
wow.
Really loved the breed. But Goldens tend to die young of cancer. They don't live very long. So when I decided to start doing dog training and competing in obedience trials, I kind of researched several different breeds, and I landed on Australian Shepherds. So for several years, I had 3 or 4 Australian Shepherds. My husband had Shelties. So when he and I met, I had 6 dogs, 2 of whom were Australian Shepherds, and he had 2 Shelties. So I moved up to Central Ohio area, and he and I ran a dog training center up in Ostrander, and we had anywhere between 8-12 dogs at all times, pretty much. So my life kind of went to the dogs, and I worked for Fenton Glass for many years, but dogs have been my day job and my life for about 20 years.
Neat. Well, you mentioned Fenton. What part of the job did you have there?
I worked in the office. My dad had been office manager at Fenton Glass, so when I got out of college, I have a degree in journalism that I didn't really get much use of. Before I got a job in journalism, I decided to go back and earn some money working for my dad, where I had also worked there during summers and, you know, in between sessions of college and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So started out to general office work and did customer service, worked the switchboard, and I ended up spending several years working for Don Benton in the sales department. So I was kind of assistant to the VP of sales.
Cool. And then you said you went on to something with journalism?
Well, I have a degree in journalism, so I never did actually get into journalism, but I ended up writing. So I used my journalism, but I never became like a reporter. It did help me understand a little bit about putting sentences together, you know.
Uh-huh. Besides quilting, are there other crafts that you do?
No, not really. I enjoy messing around with, like, refinishing furniture and stuff like that, but mostly I don't really do anything as a, quote, just a craft, you know, like enjoying crafting or selling crafts or anything like that. There's nothing that I tinker with. I've done some macrame and embroidery and stuff like that, but nothing extensive, and I never stuck with any of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned your grandmother introduced you to quilting. Can you describe that experience?
Yeah, I don't remember her ever quilting, but when I was 15 or 16 years old, I found a box, like a tin picnic basket sort of thing in the basement of our house. And it had a quilt, had some quilt blocks in it, some quilt pieces in it that she cut. And my mom was telling me about it. Mom, that you interviewed earlier,
right.
So Darlene Martin, this
yes.
would have been her mother. So I was really interested in these blocks. It was what we called, what Mom always told me, they called a sunflower quilt. So it was kind of set up like a Dresden plate, but the petals were pointed. Since then, I understand it actually has another name, but I can't recall what the other name is right now. It's something like a starburst or something like that. But the idea behind calling it a sunflower was that each of the centers were bright yellow. So this box contained hundreds of those pointed petals, several yellow round centers, and half a dozen sunflowers put together. So I was fascinated by the fact that it, you know, it was partially done. In my mind, it was half finished. And so I started tinkering with it. I remember kind of playing around with it before I went to college, but when I went to college in Morgantown, I took the tin box with me, and I remember being at my dorm as a freshman, and I would bring that box out, and I would hand-stitch those petals together, and then I would hand-stitch a center to the circle, and at some point, I started hand-appliquing all of those sunflowers onto white squares. It ended up that I had a total of 42 of these sunflowers on white blocks. Half of them were grandma's, 21 of them were hers, and 21 of them were fabric that I had cut. So at some point in time, after I graduated from college, I started hand quilting these blocks, doing what was called lap quilting at the time. I don't know if anybody does a lot of lap quilting now, but basically it was you were quilting an 18-inch block, and then you assemble the blocks together after they had already been quilted. So anyway, I had 42 of these, and I put grandma's, I backed hers with an off-white muslin, and I was going to back mine with a green, kind of an olive green floral print. So then when I assembled them, all I'd have to do would be assemble the back as a checkerboard, and her blocks and my blocks would be intermingled.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what I got to when I was in college and the couple of years after I was in college, I got all 21 of her sunflowers quilted onto off-white or onto green. I can't remember which is which.
Yeah.
Got hers done, and then I got about 5 or 6 of mine done. And then the whole thing, I moved and put it all in a toy chest and moved with me from one apartment to another apartment, and then it moved with me to the first house that my first husband and I lived in. Anyway, I think I counted up one time that I had moved this quilt 11 times. So it's been with me since I was 17, and I'm counting going back and forth to college every year. So, you know, there's a lot of movement when you're that age, right?
It's amazing you didn't lose part of it.
I know. Well, it just, like I said, it was all in this, it started out in this tin picnic basket, and then it ended up in a toy chest, and I've always just kept the toy chest, and every once in a while I'll move. And I'll open that toy chest and say, oh, there's that quilt Grandma started, and I ought to finish that one of these days. Then winter of 2018, my older sister had a granddaughter, and so she took off and would go for a month at a time to Martinsburg, West Virginia, to babysit her granddaughter. And Mom and I would get kind of stir-crazy because the three of us kind of hung around with each other. And with Janice gone, there wasn't a whole lot for Mom and I to do. And so one time I said to Mom, why don't we finish Grandma's sunflower quilt before Janice gets back? And she said, yeah, let's do that. So we dug the whole thing out. I had 21 of Grandma's blocks that were done. I had 5 of mine that were done. And then all the rest of mine, the sunflowers were completed by hand, and they had all been hand appliqued onto this white backing from the top. It was all just plain squares of top. So anyway, what we decided to do was we decided to make a 5x5 block quilt of just Grandma's squares, because that way we'd at least have a finished quilt, right?
Yeah.
I kind of knew that I didn't have it in me to do 20 more lap quilted blocks. So we used the 25 that we had. We did a 5x5 sunflower quilt made primarily of Grandma's blocks. So there were 21 of hers and 4 of mine. And then I took the remaining, I had enough to make a 4x4 of just my squares. We put sashing in between the blocks. Then I bought a special piece of fabric to back it with, and I had it quilted by a lady out at the tennis center, on Tennis Center Drive out in Marietta.
Yeah.
We actually got 2 quilts out of all those blocks. And the one that Grandma started The first one that we got finished is actually very special to me. And the lady out at the tennis center wanted to look at it. She looked at it and said, I should bring my appraiser in here to appraise this quilt because these fabrics are all antique fabrics. Of course, these would have been fabrics. Some of the fabric that was in my grandmother's blocks were things that my mom remembered having dresses made out of when she was a little girl. And mom's 92 now.
Mm-hmm.
So the fabrics are quite old in the pieces that my grandmother started.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun. I never did get it appraised because it doesn't matter to me what the value of it is.
No.
So anyway, we got those two quilts started. And the funny thing was, of course, as a quilter, you know that the primary obsession is with the accumulation of fabric and designing the quilt and coming up with what the pattern's going to be and, you know, getting started with it is a lot more fun than finishing it. So mom and I just, I mean, after we did those two quilts, it was just natural that we went right on and found some fabric in her basement and just kept doing more quilts. And between the two of us, we've done now, since that fall of 2018, I've got 6 or 7 quilts, and she's got a couple that we've done.
Yeah.
It's been really fun to get reinvigorated with it.
Yeah.
Get back into it.
And your mom had mentioned that you had gone down to the quilt shop in Parkersburg.
Yes. We went down to Bolton Quarters.
And you were learning how to long arm?
Yes. Yeah. I was fascinated by the long arm machines. And I was, for half a minute, I thought about buying one. I talked to them about taking lessons on it. So I went down and took a lesson that lasted, my lesson was like 4 hours, and then I finished the quilt that I was working on. It was a little, like a twin-size quilt. I did that one during my lesson, and it took about 6 hours total, and I was just fascinated with the idea that you could finish quilting an entire quilt in 4 to 6 hours. So then I went down a couple months later and rented a machine from them, and did a king-size quilt, set it up on Friday night, and worked for maybe an hour Friday night, and then went back down Saturday morning. I was home by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon with a finished quilt. I was just, I just loved it. And like I said, you know, for half a minute, I thought about buying one, but they're quite expensive.
It seems like the people that buy them have to do them for other people to pay for the machines.
Yes, and I have a neighbor out here I've been introduced to. I'm actually taking a couple of quilt plots to her next week because she actually bought one at Bolton Quarters, and so she does quilting for just a few of her friends and pays for her machine that way, basically. So,
yeah.
But either paying her to do it or renting it is considerably less expensive than shelling out $15,000 to $20,000 for a machine. Especially since I just got back into quilting, and I, you know, if I knew that I was dead set on doing this for the rest of my life, I would probably bite the bullet and buy a machine. But as it is, I don't want to make that sort of investment and then lose interest.
Yeah.
But Mom and I both enjoyed assembling fabric, coming up with patterns, and Mom tends to go with much more intricate patterns, and I tend to go with really, really basic, simple patterns, and I like to choose different fabric, different colors and patterns that are pleasing to my eye. I don't go for real foo-foo patterns. They're really very, very simple patterns, but I like the way the colors play on each other. And so my quilts are quite easy. My quilt tops are usually quite easy to put together because I don't go with a real difficult pattern.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite color palette you like?
Yeah. My husband and I bought a log home that Mom and Dad built, and so this log home has always lent itself to greens and reds and really strong colors because the walls are all pine. You have to decorate with kind of strong colors when you live in a pine house. So I've always used like deep reds, deep greens. The first quilt that I did years and years ago, before Mom and I got back into it, I did a quilt called a basket weave, and I used all batik, and it was the first time I'd ever sewn with batiks. It was the first time I'd ever really been introduced to them, and they were all burgundy and like caramel, kind of raspberry caramel combination, and I loved that color combination. But now, 10 years later, my favorite color combinations are all like sky blue, turquoise blue, Tiffany blue, shades of blue, green, and aqua, that sort of thing. So those are my favorite colors now.
Huh.
I guess I'm evolving.
Yeah. How about a favorite tool?
Well, I have a least favorite tool. My mom is a Virgo, and my least favorite tool is the seam ripper. Every time I do a square, she'll square it up, and if she huffs and puffs, I know that I'm going to have to take out my seam ripper. I'm a Pisces, so my theory is, hey, good enough. And she always tells me the story about the lady that was in the class with her who said, I never square up my squares. And she kept saying, your quilts must be really wonky. Of course, Mom's all about squaring everything up and making everything perfect. And,
yeah.
You know, when you put the quilts together, the little points in the corners have to come together perfectly. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so my least favorite tool is the seam ripper. So sometimes when Mom and I are working on something, I'll do the squares, and then I'll take them to her and say, these are ready to be squared up, and I'll leave. And then she squares them up, and I don't have to listen to all huffing and puffing. And by the time I get back, it's all done. Except she'll have a few pieces set aside with pins in it that have to be ripped out and redone.
So you mentioned the different parts of the process, but do you have a favorite part of the process of designing or sandwiching or binding?
Oh, my favorite part of the process, and Mom's too, is we'll always be looking at fabric and, you know, picking out bolts of fabric and stacking them up and then, you know, figuring out how many yards of each one. I mean, the obsession to accumulate fabric has got to be what drives most quilters. I mean, the thing that got Mom and I doing quilts in 2018 was the fact that she had 8 boxes of fabric in her basement. And so when we got ready to finish a quilt, we'd be like, you know, this pattern would be really pretty in shades of blue. And so we would go to her basement and open up the box of blue fabrics and dig out 8 or 10 types of fabric and put them together. If we had enough, that meant we didn't have to go to the fabric store. So sometimes we purposely went to the fabric store to find something else that did really well with those fabrics we had pulled out. But I think for my personal preference, I really enjoy the process of finding a simple pattern, and sometimes I'll go online, go on the internet, and just Google easy quilt patterns, because I don't want anything complicated. I don't want to devote the next 12 years of my life to it. I want to have something that goes together pretty quickly, and I'll find a pattern that strikes me as really fun to put together. I like it to be kind of a, maybe a little puzzle to do strip quilting, but the puzzle, you know, maybe turns a quarter turn every once in a while and gives you an interesting assembly process. I really like that. And then finding just enough fabric and figuring out, you know, if these three fabrics are doing the horizontal stripes and the next three fabrics are doing the vertical stripes, how will that look? And should I use dark fabrics on one and light fabrics on the other? Should I use blues on one and greens on the other? That's the part of it that I really enjoy. And then cutting out the blocks or cutting out the strips, I enjoy doing that. But, you know, that's kind of hard on your back sometimes. It can get kind of boring and exhausting. Mm-hmm. So assembling fabric and coming up with a fun pattern, a little bit of a puzzle to work on, I really enjoy that. Mom enjoys the math element of it, too. And sometimes a real math puzzle, trying to figure out how big each piece should be, especially when you're just looking at a picture off the internet, it may not be absolutely clear right off the bat how big the block is they're working with. So if laying it out on graph paper, figuring out what width of strip to use, all that, I just find that fascinating. And Mom and I will puzzle it back and forth, you know, we'll send each other texts. So if my strips are 2.5 inches wide, then they're going to need to be, you know, 6.5 inches long. If I do 3 of those and rotate for the next block, blah, 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 you know. So for us, that's kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes she'll text me back, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I'll know I'm off the deep end. And we need to take a break and square up some blocks. And sometimes we work off, Mom has all this equipment, you know, she's got all these cutting templates. And so sometimes we'll say, it would be really nice to use that 7.5-inch square template that you have, right? I mean, and so let's take this pattern and work it so that we can use that 7.5-inch square to square off the blocks or whatever. You know, we'll reverse engineer it. You know, I bet that the early quilters found this fascinating also.
Yeah.
You know, using math, using geometry, using up the fabric that was stacked in the back room. It's kind of what the whole craft is about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's science.
So out of the quilts you've made, do you have a favorite one?
Yeah, the one that Grandma started is my absolute favorite. And like I said, I saw a pattern. I put it on the internet on my Facebook page, and somebody sent me a note that said, I've got one of those that we used to call like a starburst or something like that. And I said, we always called this a sunflower quilt because the centers are all yellow, because in the starburst or whatever the other pattern name is, the center circle was not yellow. It was interchangeable colors. It could be any color. But that quilt is definitely my favorite. And unfortunately, I have dogs, and I have dogs that sleep with me, so I don't sleep under any of my quilts. They're all in storage. And I keep thinking, one of these days, it's going to be really nice to actually sleep under that quilt. But to date, I have not.
Yeah.
Because I would just hate to have a dog catch their toenail in it or, you know, get dirty and have to launder it a bunch of times. You know, it's just easier when you live with pets to have things that are easily laundered.
Yeah.
But it would be fun to have all the quilts out on beds. I know that when you interviewed Mom, I think she told you the story about her 90th birthday that we took all her quilts to the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was amazed at how many quilts she had done. so I'm in the same position. So now I have three beds and seven quilts. So there's no way I can use them all at any point in time.
Do you have a worst quilting experience?
Other than sitting listening to Mom square up my blog? No. I take it very lightly. We run a business out of our home, so the dog agility business is where I'm serious. The rest of my life, I am not serious, and I don't get that out of shape about quilt patterns. Like when I rented the machine down at Bolton Quarters, and I came up with my own quilting pattern, and I freestyled the whole thing, and it took, like I said, 5 hours, 4 hours. There were places, it was the first one I had done by myself on their machine, and I went into it saying, I don't care if there are little mistakes, because this quilt is going to my nephew. He is 39, something like that, 40 years old. He plays in a heavy metal band, and he's going to come home. He's never going to look at the quilting on this quilt. So I wanted to practice what I was doing, and it absolutely did not make any difference to the imperfections or that my pattern went wonky every now and then. I didn't care. He doesn't care. And that's kind of how I approach it. If the quilt looks pleasing to my eye and holds together, I'm a happy camper. This is not where I dress out and get anxious about anything. It's what I do to play around and relax and do something that's completely different from dog agility and office work.
Yeah. I think you just answered my why do you make quilts.
Yeah, there you go. And a lot of the reason I do this is because Mom and I have so much fun doing this. And you start recognizing as your mother gets older that the opportunities to do things with her are becoming less and less frequent. So it's really something that she and I do together just as a pure lark, and it keeps us getting together and going into her sewing room and messing around with something and going out to the fabric shop and making little side trips to other quilt shops, and it's just interesting and absolutely relaxing. I never worry too much about how much money I spend on it, because if I did, it would be kind of like showing dogs. It's a really expensive pastime. We're all very fortunate to be able to afford this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there are people who are struggling to pay bills, and I realize how fortunate I am to have a lifestyle that allows me to do two things that I really enjoy and not worry too awful much about how much money I spend on them. So
yeah,
I realize that that's a blessing.
It really
is. But getting to spend time with my mom doing this is a lot of fun too.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a tip that you would give to others?
Yeah, square your blocks. Always. Right now, here's my nightmare right now. So most of my patterns are really not intricate at all. But we found a medallion fabric, or a fabric with these big gold and teal and turquoise medallions. It's just beautiful. And we decided I was going to make like a log cabin quilt using blues and aquas around a center made of one of these medallions. So, of course, first I bought the medallion fabric, and then we had come up with enough medallions in the, you know, centers to all of the blocks that I needed. So we figured that I would do 9x9, so I needed 81 medallions. So we laid this fabric out. We spent hours coming up with a way of making 6.5-inch squares out of 81 of these medallions, and that fabric ended up looking like, you know, Swiss cheese. There was just nothing left of it but these little tiny pieces. So then I brought that home And I started cutting my teals and my blues and all these fabrics that I was going to use to build the log cabin around it. And I started sewing those on. Well, of course, you know, fabric, how it can be a little wonky sometimes, and you get something that's got a little more polyester in it than cotton, and even if it says it's quilting fabric, it could be a little shimmy, you know, to it as you're sewing. So that's what I'm working on now. And every time I put two strips in, of course, I'll add a strip of teal on the east side and a strip of teal on the south side. I take it to Mom and she squares it up. So it is a huge pain in the neck. So when I say square every time, I mean it. You've got to square every time. So before I started taking these in Mom so that she could square them up, I completely assembled one block, just kind of floating through it without squaring it up each time.
Uh-oh, did she make you rip it all out?
She hasn't, because I didn't take it to her. So the next, when I finally finished it, I laid it down on my cutting board, my measuring board, and it was not even close to square, and it was not even close to big enough. And it actually looked like my medallion in the center had rotated some. You know, it wasn't square to the board anymore. Yeah, and it was all because the fabric would kind of ooch around, shift a little bit. So then I tried assembling an entire block where I squared up between, after each two strips.
Yeah.
And that block ended up being completely square, completely centered, and my center medallion is correct. So I know that the proper assembly is going to require squaring each time.
Wow.
The finished block on this one is going to be like 12 inches by 12 inches or 11 by 11, something like that. So I only have 49 squares that I'm working on, 7 by 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I get those 49 squares or 50 squares done, adding two strips, then I take them to her, and I come back home, and I start cutting my next fabric, and I just let her alone until she gets those all squared up. And then I bring them home, and I add two more strips and take those back to her and let her square them up. So she enjoys the squaring up process. I don't, but I highly recommend it, and she insists on it, so that's kind of the agreement we've made.
That's so neat that you have that.
It's like a partnership. It's a partnership that depends on both of us using our separate strengths. So mm-hmm. Mine is the sitting and sewing and cutting strips and putting a thing together, and hers is the squaring up. And she just really enjoys the process of squaring them up. It's been interesting. I probably will never again do a pattern that requires so much squaring up. I'll look more closely at patterns after this. I'll be more careful.
Well, I bet it's going to be beautiful.
I think it is going to be beautiful. It's all going to be, like I said, shades of teal and aqua, surrounded by these medallions, which have a black background, but the medallion itself is on like a metallic fabric. So it's gold with teals and greens, and it's just going to, I think it's going to be stunning.
Yeah.
But if I ever get it all finished, it may kill me.
Is there anything else you would like to share with me?
No, this has been quite enjoyable talking about all this stuff. I had forgotten about my basket weave quilt that I did 5 or 6 years ago, so that was good to be reminded that in between, before Mom and I got started on Grandma's quilt, I did another one, and I had completely forgotten about that.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. It's like any hobby that you have. you can get obsessed about it, or you can call it a relaxing thing that you do, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that some people get completely obsessed, and I try not to. That doesn't make it any more fun to become obsessed.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you so much for sharing with me today.
Well, I was glad to. I'm glad you called. Bye.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of A Quilter's Life. You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Thanks for listening.